Now, because of Mr. Friday's role in the Knight Commission, this is an idea that all of us have heard about many times, and I heard about even growing up in North Carolina. And it has been repeated by the press in North Carolina frequently, and it is part of the rhetoric of college sports, and Bubba already alluded to that. And I want to make the case to you that it might have been a good idea when it was proposed, but we're having an awfully hard time with it now. And I think this presidential control idea has sort of gotten away from us. And so I'm here to make the proposal that we consider what the proper role and the best role for presidents and chancellors is in college sports. So the idea of presidential control was that if college presidents and chancellors were responsible for athletics, academic values would be more strongly asserted. As a result, the ADs in Division I report directly to the chancellor or the president. The conferences are run by councils of the member presidents, and the NCAA Board of Directors is made up of presidents. Before I explain why I think this initiative has failed, let's examine a few of the things that presidential control was supposed to fix. It was supposed to produce less corruption. It was supposed to make it easier to make rules. It was supposed to reduce the escalation of money in college sports. And it was supposed to give academics the ability to change college sports. It's almost hard to keep from laughing when you say these things because obviously it hasn't worked. Now let me explain what I think the reasons are. The first problem is that college presidents usually have not had any exposure to big-time sports before becoming presidents. I say usually because my good friend and certainly one of the best presidents in the country, Bud Peterson of Georgia Tech, was a wide receiver for the Kansas State Wildcats. But most of us were working in the lab or library, teaching, publishing, until we moved into administrative jobs where we did things like grant tenure, start new degree programs, and work on accreditation. When I was in middle school, before I became the chancellor of North Carolina, I did play defensive tackle for the Honeycutt Giants. And I started, but it was only because we only had 22 people on our team. Then one day I woke up and Roy Williams, Anson Dorrance, Sylvia Hatchell, Mike Fox, and so many other great coaches were all working for me. And I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm happy to see all my friends from athletics here today. It's been an honor to work with all of you. And I consider all of the people that I've worked with in athletics to be dear friends. And after 5 years and all that I've been through, I know enough to run college sports now. But I think we can all agree it wasn't exactly a smooth road to enlightenment. And I certainly didn't know enough to run college sports 5 years ago. The search committee asked me one question about it. And I think this narrative is typical for most of my colleagues around the country. The second problem is that presidents and chancellors don't have time to do what is asked of us by this presidential control idea. We go to conference or NCAA meetings to discuss new rules. And when we get home, our ADs tell us we are crazy to agree to these changes. And they're usually right. The presidential retreat that Mark Emmert had was a good idea, but it has a lousy record in terms of coming up with ideas that were ultimately approved by the membership. This is because presidents are fighting political battles, fundraising, dealing with the hospital, and trying to help the governing boards understand the inner workings of higher education. People ask me all the time why I didn't let the AD do more of the public relations during the problems that we have had at North Carolina. This is what most good public relations consultants will tell you to do. And the answer is that the governing boards and this concept of presidential control didn't give me much of a choice. Every time I appeared to discuss athletics at a board meeting, which in North Carolina is always with the media there, was at the request of the board who specifically wanted me to come talk to them. That's not their fault. This presidential control idea has created the impression that the president or chancellor should be the one to speak for the university to the governing boards about athletics. Third problem is that making the president or chancellor the only academic administrator accountable for athletics allows the rest of the administration to check out. Oh, that's the chancellor's problem. I have to admit, I've said that myself when I was in other roles at Carolina. The other consequence of this is that when deans and provosts become chancellors and presidents, they have no prior experience with athletics. Which brings me to the last point, which is that presidential control has the unintended consequence of bringing the governing board closer to athletics. It was supposed to have the opposite effect, but the presidents work for the governing boards, and many of the governing boards can include at least some, but by no means all, people who sought the appointment precisely so that they could get close to athletics. So we have a bunch of college professors working for boards that have a lot of sports fans, and we wonder why it isn't working. The upshot of it is that college presidents are capable of doing really smart things and usually get most crises handled well. But a sports crisis reduces really smart people into people who appear inept and sound inarticulate. The reason is that there's no place to hide. You have the sports fans going crazy if they don't get their players in the game, and the media and much of the faculty expecting, because of this presidential control idea, that the president or chancellor can wave a wand and somehow make it all go away. A very smart sports person told me that the best you can hope for is a tie. So that's what people play for. This concept of playing for a tie is a very good way of understanding why our controversy at North Carolina went on for such a long time. So this brings me back to your instructions. I asked you to think of two things, and one are concrete steps that Carolina can take, but also the positions that Carolina can take on national issues. I'm saying a lot more today than I would say if I wasn't going to Division III to be a provost. My successor will be here soon, and she will not want to say anything that will make the NCAA upset or cause the fan base to start an email campaign to the board, which shouldn't work, but it does. But hopefully, my saying these things will make it easier for her. You hear all the time that the presidents of the universities have the power to fix this. I don't agree. We can't fix the NCAA or the conferences because we have to get huge number of our colleagues to agree with us at the same time. And we can't fix our own situations because the alumni and the governing boards want their victories and they want the agony of disagreement over college athletics to end as soon as possible. So to me, that leaves two choices. Either we put the ADs back in charge and hold them accountable if things don't work. And Bubba Cunningham said to me earlier, "What are you doing?" I said, "Bubba, I trust you. That's what I'm saying about this whole thing." Or let's be honest and tell everyone when we select them to run institutions that have big-time sports that athletics is the most important part of their job.